You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. My name is Andrew, and this is my beautiful baby mama, Carrie Cromwell, and we get to greet you this morning, and we want to just take a second and love on you, moms. You know, Mother's Day is a day that is special because each one of us, whether we like them or not, have a mom. And I love Mother's Day because it is a day when everybody comes to church. It's almost like an Easter, because when you ask moms what they want that Sunday, many times it's like, I just want you to come to church with me. So welcome to you who were dragged here today against your will. We're just thrilled that you're here with us this morning.
Yeah, there's something amazing about becoming a mother. I knew from a young age I wanted to become a mother. I just needed to find a man to help make it happen, and I did.
I was willing.
But I can recall, half the time I can't remember their names, but I can tell you every detail of the moment that they joined my life because it marked me and they've continued to mark me. So it's a beautiful honor to be a mom. It's been, it's a blast. I think like Candace was saying, it's great fun, wild ride. But with those wild rides, sometimes there's some pretty significant dips and you don't really know how to do it or what you're doing. And so there's this quote that I think sums it up beautifully. It says, being a mother is learning about strengths you didn't know you had and dealing with fears you didn't know existed. That little piece of your heart that ventures out onto the road when they get their driver's license and you're like, where are you going? Or then they move out and you're just that little emptiness. But all balancing all the fears and all the joys, and it just makes me realize how thankful I am to have a father that covers the entire journey of being a mother.
The Barna Institute does research these days on the Christian world primarily, and in a recent survey, they were looking at homes and families, Christian families, particularly moms and teens and their relationship with between the two of them. See, the teens these days, Gen Z, are reporting that the most important person in their life is their mom. They're reporting that their mom is the one who they talk to the most, they argue with the most, they learn from the most. When they have difficult conversations, they tend to go to their moms. Their moms tend to be their spiritual encourager and their companion in so many different ways. And so I just want to say, moms, you're needed. You're appreciated. Your value, don't ever underestimate it. The things that you do for your family, for your kids, are so vitally important. And I think sometimes as moms, like any parents, sometimes we lose strength and energy. We lose hope that it's actually making a difference. I don't know about you, but as a parent, sometimes I just go, man, I don't know if they're getting it. I don't know if what I'm doing really matters. And I think sometimes we can feel like that whether our kids are really little or whether they're adults and they're out of the house and we're in a different role. But I just want to say, moms, the Lord sees what you're doing and the investment that you have put in and are putting into your families and your kids. And he's the one that actually does something with it that's so much more powerful than what we can do on our own. I was thinking about you this morning, and I just felt like I should encourage you from a verse that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and I think it applies to you moms today. He says this. He said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And I think, moms, the investment that you make in your kids is like that farmer who's scattering seed on the ground. And it says day and night, right? There's work day and night that seed is cast into the ground. And many times we just as parents, and particularly as moms, you guys give so much, and you're just sort of like throwing out those pearls of wisdom and doing yet another chore or another task or another way that you're helping, and you're encouraging and you're correcting and you're loving and you're doing all the things that you have to do as a mom. And sometimes we wonder, is the seed going to grow? Is it going to take? Is there going to be a fruit that comes out on the other side? And Jesus says this. He says, whether the farmer is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he doesn't understand how it happens. Right? Sometimes we go, man, I don't know how it's going to work with this kid. This one, I'm not sure if they're going to receive it. And I just want to encourage you this morning that ultimately the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. ultimately, the Lord is the one that watches over both the seed and the child that's receiving that investment. And we can oftentimes look at ourselves, and I know you do, moms, you criticize yourself. You say, I didn't do enough, I didn't do it right. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God will give you and has given you the grace to operate, that he's given you that ability, because it's not by your strength, it's by his strength. It's not by your perfection that somehow that fruit is going to come out of your child. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. He's watching over your investment. He's going to do with it. He loves your kids even more than you do. And so I just want to encourage you today, wherever you're at in the race of motherhood, whether you're at the beginning and you're doing diapers, or whether you're on the other side and your kids are out of the house and now you're just that encouraging and supportive voice, that the Lord is the one who's actually making your investment worth it. And he's guarding over the fruit. And he's going to do more with it than anything that you could ever hope to do.
That's such good. If there's anything that I would desire to impart in you this morning is the Father's grace in your mothering. And just like when they're little, it's so easy. Like, they're so cute, and you get to dress them up and bring them in here, and everybody's matching. And then they become, like, we're in the midst of teen and adult life, and I'm like, dear Jesus, like, what? I don't know. Like,
what have we done?
I missed it. You know, and I can see all the areas that I fell short or that I think, and just shifting my heart to trust the Father and believe that he's covered my slips in his grace, and that truly he does. He gave them to me, and he's going to take care of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to invite all the moms to stand, and we're going to pray over you. We have some students and young adults who are going to pray over you. I'm going to invite them up. So if you're a mom, a single mom, adopted mom, foster mom, spiritual mom,
come on, mom, stand up. You want to receive this prayer this morning.
Stand up. You are, rise up and be blessed in this moment. And we're just going to pray, just kind of posture yourself in a place to receive a blessing from the Father. This is a prayer over you and for you, from the heart of babes and grand faith. So, Josie, you want to start us off?
I'm going to be praying for spiritual and stepmothers. So if you guys will bow your heads and join me in some prayer. Lord, I thank you for all of the stepmothers and all of the spiritual mothers that are here today and that are not here today. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed each one of them exactly where they are. Lord, I ask that you continue to pour into them as they continue to pour out to us, that their strength, love, compassion, and grace never grow weary because you are the center of those things. I pray that your peace overflows them, that nothing overcomes them because they know you have overcome the world. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Father, will you let them feel that praise today and every day after? Thank you, Lord, for your daughters who have become our mothers. Thank you that they have grown into the holy, blameless, and perfect image of you, my God. Lord, let them see themselves the way you do, and help their children and their husbands see them as you do. Lord, thank you for this day, that we may show appreciation to all different kinds of mothers. I pray all things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This morning, I'm going to be praying for single moms. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I pray strength and peace over single moms, that your spirit would rest on them, bringing reassurance and strength. I speak peace over their minds as they continue to speak life into their children's. I pray that their lives would not feel unstable or wavering, but your firm hands would be with them. Father, I pray support and community to show clear to them, bringing ease and stability into their day-to-day lives, that they would be filled as much as they give, and that they would never be left feeling empty. Remind them they are able, valued, and needed beyond measure. God, would you show up for them in ways that meets every desire of their hearts and show clear to them your love, peace, and faithfulness.
I'm just going to be praying for all moms. Can you please bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this special day, and I thank you for all these mothers. I pray you will give them strength and encouragement in whatever areas they may need it, and give them the peace and understanding that only comes from you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Amanda and Madeline and Josie.
Moms, you may be seated. You look so very nice today, everybody. We want to make sure that you got a gift. Everybody, all moms get a gift this morning. If you didn't get yours, you can get it on the way out. It's here in the lobby. There's a flower for you, and just a way for us to say that you're loved and appreciated. Let me just note that those are for moms only, not for your mom, You don't get to pick it up for your mom. Nobody else gets to take it to their mom. It's like only moms can go and grab one of those.
I think it was Wednesday, and I started hearing, "Oh, mom, I didn't get you anything. Oh, mom." So don't go out there and get a rose and then be like, "Look what I got you, mom." Don't do that.
After the service, there's cookies for everybody out there. I think the taco guy is out there, and so feel free to enjoy the photo booths and take pictures with your kids and enjoy all that. We're so glad that you are here. Carrie and I are going to share with you this morning a message that I think will be encouraging to you. It's a message that really that Carrie came to her heart this week. Earlier, we were talking, and we kind of knew that we would be sharing together. But we hadn't really got to the point of talking about what we would be sharing, and in just a few moments, kind of, she got the download on what we would be sharing today. We're in the series called A Healer, and we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about God's nature as a healing God, and that He is in the healing business. I thank God that He's in the business of healing us today, spirit, soul, and body, every part of our being. He wants to heal. And in the series, we've been talking primarily about physical healing. And every week we've been praying for those that are dealing with physical issues. We're going to continue to do that. But today in particular, we want to focus on an area of healing that sometimes I think we overlook when we focus only on this area of physical healing. Physical healing, God's a physical healer. He wants to heal your body. And I would just say today, even if you're here and you're dealing with physical pain, you're dealing with a diagnosis, a chronic issue, that you serve a God who loves you and who just desires to pour out grace and healing on you. And even in the service today, He can touch you and He can begin to repair those things that are damaged. And He's here today in that spirit of healing. Sometimes, though, we focus only on one area of healing. We miss the fact that God heals all parts of us. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk today primarily in this area of emotional and relational healing, because we're all on a healing journey. And the healing journey that the Lord has us on is an invitation for us to come back to the Father and to see actually what He wants to do inside of us.
Yeah, so this realization that emotional health is a vital component to our total health. When we look at physical, mental, emotional, psychosocial relationship. And I think the church today is doing a much better job than in the past of acknowledging that there is emotional issues that we need to heal. It's beyond spiritual. And understanding that total health, my whole health, is limited by the level of health of an individual part. So I work in medicine with pretty ill patients, and if I'm looking at them and I'm dealing with a really sick liver, and they go to the heart doctor and the heart doctor tells them, "Your heart's great, you've got years," and they come back to me filled with hope, and I have to tell them, like, "Well, but your liver is broken, and therefore your heart is going to stop functioning prematurely because you're limited in this area." And so I think sometimes we like to only focus on the parts that are healthy. "Well, I'm going to the gym and I'm physically healthy." Well, that's great, but you're a walking wounded warrior, you know. Or I'm spiritually healthy, and so realizing that if there's one area limited, that really our whole being is limited in how far we can progress.
The second thing is that it's interesting to me that spiritual health often masks relational and emotional health. What I mean by that is that sometimes, and this happens particularly in churches, we get focused, even hyper-focused, on our spirituality and our spiritual life, and we ignore the reality that we are, in fact, walking wounded in some of these other areas of our life. And we use our spiritual disciplines, our ability to hear from the Lord, our prayer life, to ignore almost what's really going on in the rest of our health. I see this sometimes when spouses... One spouse in the relationship maybe considers themselves more spiritually mature. They're really good on their disciplines of reading the word and praying. They hear God's voice. And as a consequence of that, the other spouse sometimes gets beat up because the one spouse is spiritual. But what's really happening is the spiritual, quote-unquote spiritual one, is ignoring some relational and emotional unhealth that exists inside of them, and they're blaming it on the enemy, or they're blaming it on the lack of their spouse's spiritual maturity. And really, it's just an excuse because they don't want to face the real things that are going on in their life. And so just tell your neighbor right now, take the mask off. Go ahead. I mean, you could do it. It's all right. You know, even if you don't know him, it's just something you say. Take your mask off. Take your mask off. There's some masking that we do that it's time for us just to say, you know what, I got some issues, and I'm not going to mask it with my spiritual life. So we're on this healing journey, and we're going to talk about, from the story of the prodigal son, how we can go back to the Father, what he has to say to us about healing in this area.
Yeah, so the prodigal son, I was reading the story, which is so familiar to a lot of us, and I think we start to read it on just like, oh yeah, it's about the lost coming home to the Father. But when I was reading it this most recent time, I saw so much pain in the story and how my heart identified with each one of the younger son, the father, and the older son in the different areas of my life and the seasons that I have either been journeying through acute pain or have been ruminating in pain or trying to overcome pain. And so I just want to invite you to just read and listen to the story with us as we kind of go through it with a fresh filter and ask the Holy Spirit to kind of reveal what he would to your heart through this. We're going to read it through the Message, and it starts in Luke 15. It says, "Then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through the country, and he began to feel it. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father.
When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to his servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a prize-winning heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on. He told him, 'Your brother came home. Your father ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has him home, safe and sound.'
The older brother stomped off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, 'Look how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief, but have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours who has thrown away your money shows up and you go all out with a feast?' His father said, 'Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he's found.'"
So in the remaining time that we have together, we just want to look at this story of the prodigal son and how it can apply to each of our lives. And we think that there's three things that we can see here. No matter how old you are, whether you're a teen or whether you're in your 80s this morning, these apply to all of us, that each of these characters in the story say something to us. And what we see here is that there is an invitation, there is an opportunity, and there is a caution for us. First of all, there's an invitation. It's an invitation to bring our brokenness to the Father. There is an opportunity for us to actually reflect to others the same attitude that the Father has. And then there's a caution for us because we are all broken. We're all in the process of healing. But if we're not careful, we can miss the fact that we are actually in process and we begin to judge others.
So an invitation. when I look at the story, we see the brokenness. An invitation for us is, will you bring your brokenness to the Father? And this story is so full of an emotion and processing, and I can't help but wonder, because it's a family, what the squabbles are, what the issues were between the brothers, perhaps, what the issues were between the father and the sons, perhaps, what unjust encounters had been done, what pain was there, and then it's just this revelation of how they dealt with it. And I think we can look in our lives and look at our relationships and see the areas of pain and kind of how we've shown up to that. So how do we show up to the brokenness in our lives and in our relationships? And looking at this, I see two tendencies. I see bartering and I see bouncing. And just like in our flesh, when we're faced into dangerous situations, we fight or we flight. And I think in our emotions, we have a tendency to barter or bounce. And so when we barter, we negotiate and we fight and we settle. And when we bounce, we run, we find other sources to cover or soothe our wounds, or we just avoid it. And so when I look at this younger son and he walks up to his father and he says, I want right now what's coming to me. Culturally, in context, there was an inheritance that they would get when the father died, but to walk up to your dad and say, give me what's mine right now, was not, you don't do that. It's kind of rude, and so he goes up and he throws this fit, and he wants the fullness of his inheritance right now, and he wants it how he wants it. And there was something I can imagine that was unsettled within him. I can't imagine he was perfectly content and satisfied and whole. There was something that he was trying to fix. And so he went and he thought, well, if I get my inheritance, that will do that. And I think sometimes we do this. We do it with the Father and we do it in our relationships. We demand healing. We demand that situations be redeemed. I require justice before I make amends with another person, because that's what I need. We want justice brought in our way, in our timeline, to satisfy our desires. God, if you would, if you will, then I will. If I could just get that job, if I could just get more money, if I could just get the right man, then I'll be happy. I'll be whole. I'll find peace. And we go into this bartering system trying to soothe the pain that's within us. And when we do that, we get a portion. We get a portion of our inheritance. And I think when we end up in those situations and we hit those walls of pain and we go into bartering, I believe that we ask too small. He only got part of his inheritance. We ask too soon. We ask for the quick fix. And this mindset keeps us above the grit level. It keeps us from getting dirty and in the weeds with what we really need to deal with. And God wants to bring us on this journey below the surface level of the pain. He wants to bring us into a relationship that actually refines. And so we see this brother, and he takes a portion, and he attempts to find fullness of life and healing on his own. And there's this concept of, I think we settle for salvation, we settle for getting baptized, and we think that encounter is going to do it. We've got our inheritance, we've got our ticket into eternal life. But the Father says there's a fullness of your salvation, there's a fullness of your inheritance that you get when you press into me and get on the gritty level. You go below the surface and you get more to it. But we often take what we think is going to soothe what we want right now, the quick fix that we want right now. So bartering only gets us so far, and oftentimes we don't get the results we want. This boy found himself slopping pig feed to pigs, corn cobs and stuff. That's not a job I want. That's not an emotional situation that I want to be in. So when he finds himself not in a winning position after he's gotten his inheritance, because he thinks, well, I'll do that, it says in a little while, not too long after he's gotten his inheritance, he leaves. So the initial inheritance didn't really get him what he wanted. So now he's out seeking more. And so this is when he packs his bags and he leaves for a distant country. And it says he's undisciplined and dissipated. When we get our inheritance too soon, I think it feeds our undiscipline. It feeds our desperation. It doesn't feed our health and our healing. He surrounded himself with things of empty promise. Have you done that? Chase the grass is always greener, right? We go to the next thing trying to fix the situation we're in. And it says he was so hungry, but no one would give him anything. When we break relationships and run to other sources for healing and life, those healing and life, the sources of relationship that we're seeking, they often don't fulfill what we're actually needing. And they don't soothe the pain. David White talks about the bounce or the flight tactic or withdrawal like this. When we run, he says the very act of running exiles us from the very circumstances that we're about to mature and cultivate our character. In the wild, the best response to dangerous circumstances is often not to run, but to assume a profoundly attentive identity, to pay attention to what seems to threaten, and in that attention, not to assume the identity of the victim. So I think sometimes when we hit hard things, we run, but God's actually saying, I want you to stick in here because I'm about to do something in you. I'm about to heal that area in you. I'm about to break generational sin within your family line, but I just need you to stay right here for a little bit longer. Don't run. Don't run just yet. And so when we realize that bartering and bouncing don't work, we realize that we're not a victim to our situation, and we have an aha moment that we can actually say, no, wait, that's not my identity. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. And so we see this shift in the son. He says, then he came to his senses. And he was like, wait, I have a father. I have a greater inheritance. The people at the farm, they're not slopping pig feed. They're not, they're getting square meals. They're getting clothes. They're getting good night's sleep. And so he shifts his identity. He discovers his profound identity. And he goes, but he changes his posture at the same time. And he returns to his father with a bent heart, with a heart of surrender. And so he realized bartering and bouncing wasn't going to work. And so he bent his heart in surrender and came home to his father. And I think when we come to the Father, not bartering, not demanding, not bouncing, not running, but we bend our heart in surrender as this young son did as he came home and approached his father. He didn't come manipulating. He didn't come, you know, trying to redeem and make himself known. He came surrendered to the Father. And we bring our brokenness to the Father. He can do so much more with it.
That's pretty good stuff. I just kind of like would like to riff on that a little bit because there's so much that's there.
We don't have time.
I know, so I'm going to keep going. I feel like she's talking to some people in the room, though, right? Where your tendency is like you get so far in a relationship and it gets uncomfortable and you bounce. Or you get so far in a friendship, or you get so far at work and suddenly things start to get uncomfortable. And even you start to act in ways that create further brokenness, mm-hmm. and you keep repeating these patterns over and over again, and it's because of that inner pain, it's because of that bouncing tendency or that fight and flight tendency, and it's time to stop. It's time to say, hey, I need to bend the knee. It's time to say there's something else that's going on here. There's some internal work that needs to be done that I have to stop ignoring. Now, I made the promise that I would stay on script with Carrie because if I don't, I get in trouble. So I'm going to continue. The invitation for us is to stop running and to bring all of our brokenness to the Father. So the first thing is that invitation. The second thing is that not only do we have an invitation, but we have an opportunity. And the opportunity is this. It's will we reflect the love of the Father towards others? Mm-hmm. One of the incredible pieces of the story, of course, is the picture of the Father. When Jesus talks about the Father, it's this image of our Father God and his love for us, his love for his kids, all of them that have turned away, done their own thing, gone in their own direction. And the way that the Father is depicted is incredible. I mean, it's shocking, particularly to the Jewish mindset, the way that the Father acts. Because it is the son has acted so badly, anyone who's listening to the story would expect the father to simply turn his back on the son until the son comes groveling and does all the things that would be expected of the son to do before even the father is willing to have a conversation with the Son. But that's not the way that the Father is pictured by Jesus, right? The way that the Father is pictured is the Father is waiting. He's looking. It's almost like every morning you get this sense. Every morning he's getting up, and with his first cup of coffee, he's looking down the road. Maybe this will be the day that my son comes back. Maybe this will be the day that our relationship is restored. And then when he does finally see the son, when the son actually approaches him, he doesn't wait. He doesn't stand there with his arms crossed and say, well, finally, you figured it out. Look what the cat dragged in today. No, instead, he does a shocking thing, right? This is unthinkable to the Jewish mind. The father actually begins to run towards the son, which is like it's like a demeaning thing. It's like you never do that. The son, the lower person, runs towards the person with power. The person with power never runs towards the person who's broken, and yet that's exactly what he does. And so we see that the father, the attitude that he exhibits is incredible. It's an attitude of generosity. Right? He gives, at the beginning of the story, inheritance that he didn't really have to give to begin with. And yet he gives it freely. And once he gives it, he's willing to give more, right? He's willing to still give relationship and restoration. He's willing to give all that he has. And so he lives with this incredible sense of generosity and open-handedness. We see that the father desires relationship with the son. That more than almost anything else, more than the son coming and getting on his knees and groveling, the father's not interested in that as much as he's interested in restoring the relationship. He, as soon as he comes back, he says, no, get up off your knees. Bring the robe. Bring the best robe that you got. Bring the ring that symbolizes he's a part of our family, that he has full authority, that he's never been gone. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Why? Because there's something special that's happened here. This son that I so love and that I want to be in relationship with, we're going to wash away all of the past because of the value of this thing that I want with him, this friendship that I have with him. And then, of course, the way that he welcomes the son home. He doesn't get an attitude of, it's about time. He doesn't say, you know, all the things that we want to say when someone finally comes around to their senses. Well, I've been waiting for you to get that figured out for a while. You know, he simply with open arms says, it's time to party. It's time to celebrate this fact. And so we see the Father, and we're amazed by what the Father does. And this is the love that he expresses to each one of us, right? With open arms, he welcomes us back into the fold if we have been running in the other direction. But it's not just for us. See, the invitation for us, the opportunity for us, is to actually reflect the love of the Father towards others. It's not just for us to receive it from the Father, but it's now for us to learn from his example and turn towards those who we are in relationship with, who are maybe not doing so well in terms of we're broken for whatever reason, those who have acted badly towards us, those who have betrayed us, those who are on a different cycle than us in terms of their emotional maturity. And our opportunity is to reflect that same generosity that the Father had, that same open-handedness, to reflect that same desire for a relationship. And see, the difficult thing is, have you noticed people are on a different timeline of healing than you are? And they never figure it out as quickly as I would like them to figure it out. It always seems like it's like, come on, it's about time. Mm-hmm. And yet the invitation is, let's not play that game. Let's remember who our Father is and that we get to live with these open hands, that we get to respond and invite them back into relationship, that we're always looking for a reason and an excuse to welcome them home. There's always room at the table. Mm-hmm. And when we live like that, we begin to look like the Father, and we begin to become healing agents in relationships with others.
Yeah, so we have an invitation to bring our brokenness to the Father, and then we have an opportunity to actually reflect the Father's love to the other people that we live with that are broken. And then we also, at the end, we see that there's this caution. There's this caution that we see with the older son. And the caution that we would ask is, will you avoid the mask of pride and judgment? And we see that come through. Where's the older, any firstborns? Not very many. We're both firstborns. Somehow we've made it work. But firstborns, we know how to show up. We know how to play the game, I like to call it. So, right, we know how to please mom and dad, and then you have like a second born, and you're like, what are you doing? That's not how you play the game. I have to tell my kids, I'm like, dude, just play the game. You're not playing the game, and it's not going well for you.
I remember my sister, I'm sorry to interrupt. No, my sister, I'm the firstborn, she's the secondborn. I got it figured out, right? I mean, like, if you're a firstborn, typically you figure it out pretty quickly. Oh, yeah, it's pretty easy. You just do what they want you to do, and it's all cool. My sister came along, she's 2.5 years younger than me. She would never play the game. I would beg her. I would be like, please, just say the words that they want you to say. Why are you going to get spanked again? Like, it's not worth it. But she didn't care. She was like, whatever. I'm like, oh, my God.
So we see this older brother. He stayed, right? He stayed on the farm. He's going to work every day. He's showing up. He's changing his clothes. He's doing what the father says, you know. And the reality is that he looks healed on the outside. He's got all the boxes checked. He's doing all the things. He's working his way towards his reward and his inheritance. And I think sometimes we get in this mindset that I have to work towards, I got to clean up and make it look good so I can work towards my inheritance. And the father says, no. Like, the inheritance is yours. Let's journey through it together. Let's continue to grow. But you don't have to work for anything. I've freely given it to you. But stay close. So he's worked through this. He's played the game right. And then there was the moment, right? Have you had those moments in your life where all of a sudden you've been caught off guard and you're like, what just happened? And the brokenness of his heart was revealed. And he says this, he stomps off in an angry sulk and refuses to join in. And he rips into his dad. He says, look how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you a moment of grief. Have you ever thrown a party for me? And I think the heart will be revealed, and we can so quickly and perfectly clean ourselves up and then find ourselves here. We justify our brokenness. We place ourselves in the I'm better than that category. At least I didn't do that. At least my kids haven't done that. At least my marriage looks good on Instagram.
We're doing okay, guys. We're doing okay.
I don't post stuff on Instagram.
Yesterday was a little rough, but we're good today.
My life should be good because I have done the right things. Why him? Why celebrate him? Why celebrate her? Why not me? Don't you see me? Don't you see me, Lord? Have you ever asked that question? Why? Why are all their dreams coming true? They haven't done what's right. I do all the right things. Why him and why not me? Those moments in life that squeeze us and expose the depths of the pain of our heart. We all have them. We don't sit up here exempt, but they're broken areas of our heart that we haven't surrendered and we haven't gained full healing in. Those unexpected moments of hurt. I never thought that person would hurt me. I never thought that person would betray me. I never thought I'd lose my job. I've given this job years of my life. I never thought they'd just turn their back on me. A family death that can spiral all kinds of things up. People talking bad about you. Smack. Almost said crap. You know, not faster too. You know, to malice and injustice that we feel like hit us all of a sudden, that moment that the reality of the state of our heart is exposed, and all of a sudden bitterness and judgment and anger and unforgiveness are just like erupting out of us. And I think sometimes it can catch us off guard. I've been in situations where I was like, I don't know where that came from. And then other times I think it's so ingrained in the depths of our wounds that we don't even see the response. It's become a part of our identity. And the reality is it's vandalizing and corrupting all of our relationships and our relationship with the Father. And so it's just this reality that we are not exempt of the brokenness of our heart, but we are often unaware, I think. And the broken pieces of our heart have a hard time celebrating the success of others. So if you're not sure where you're broken, look around. And if you get an attitude with people around you and their success, there might be some work to be done within you so that as the father welcomed home the son, we can do that too and not be in this state of self-pain, self-loathing. The other area I see the son is that he didn't understand grace and forgiveness. I think sometimes there's areas in our life that it's like, no, that wound's too deep. I can't give that one to the Lord. I need to hold on to it just a little bit. It's my little security blanket. I need to keep that. I can't cover that one with grace. Areas that are too painful to go to. We just want to skip, but we want to bounce right over them. We don't want to sit with them. Tendencies in our reactions that we identify with that just become, well, that's just the way I am. And the reality is that's not just the way you are. You're a son and a daughter of Christ, and he set you apart to reflect his glory. So if we don't surrender our pain and the deep things of our hearts to him, then we miss the mark, and we continue to function out of the bitter fruit. That's what we see of the son. We see the bitter fruit of his buried pain. And that fruit leaks out. So we can play the part of showing up and doing the right things, but at some point the heart will be revealed. The pain we haven't dealt with will surface, and it will impact our reality and our inheritance if we don't deal with it. So how do we welcome? How do we welcome the buried, broken pieces that reside within each one of us?
What's interesting about the story is that it just sort of ends there. It ends without an ending. It's open-ended. We don't know what happens after this conversation with the father and the elder brother. And I think part of that is simply that the ending, or at least there's an invitation to the story that we have, that we get to play a part of that in that ending. What will we do with this opportunity and the invitation and the caution? And I think today, as we prepare to wrap up, what we want to do is we just want to give a moment to the Lord to speak to our hearts and to minister to each one of us. Because I think that all of us have played each of those roles one time or another. Each of us have been the elder brother at some point. Each of us have been the prodigal son. And each of us have been in the place of the father, whether we're going, and we're choosing. Are we going to be open-handed and generous? Are we going to be welcoming? Or are we going to be closed-fisted and resistant to the healing of relationships? And what we want you to know today is that it's okay to be broken. It really is. It's okay to have run away. It's okay to have had an attitude with other people that are in a broken place and to judge them. But it's not okay to sit in those places. Like, it's okay to have done those things. There's an invitation to all of us to recognize that those failures are part of who we are, but it's not the all of the story. It's not the end of the story. That there's actually an invitation to go somewhere else with it. It's okay to have run away, but don't stay away, right? It's okay to be broken, but there's healing that's available, and you shouldn't embrace just the brokenness and not actually seek out the healing from the Father. It's okay to have judged people, but let's not actually stay there. Let's see that for what it is, as something that's ugly and evil and needs to be changed inside of us. We all are in need of healing today. We're all in need of restoration. One of the beautiful things about being in a community like this one and a church like this one is there's a recognition that no one has made it yet, that there is still work to be done. Whether you have been in the faith for many, many decades and you're mature in every way that we would know about, you still have work to do. There is still a process for each one of us. And we want to just sort of normalize brokenness. Just in the room, that there's healing and there will be healing. And until you go to be with the Father, he will continue to heal and to point out areas that need to be changed and need to be redeemed. And it's amazing how as you get closer and closer to Jesus, you really come to recognize how truly broken and without hope your internals are. It's really easy to clean up the outside at the beginning of our walk with Christ. And then the tough stuff starts to be dealt with. because then he starts to put his finger on these areas that we would rather not deal with. This is what David says in Psalms 139, and this would be, I think, the invitation that I would ask of you even right now, that it would be your prayer, that we would say here at the end, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. If you just bow your head, we're going to pray for three groups of people today, just kind of reflecting the story and just give an opportunity for response and to pray for each of these groups. First of all, I want to pray for those that you recognize, even as we're talking about it, that you have played the role of the elder brother, and you've been hiding behind self-righteousness and judgment. You're pretty good at perhaps ticking off the boxes and getting things in order. You're pretty good at organizing your life and maybe even being obedient to the Lord. But that has become a reason to hold people in judgment. It's become actually a reason to sort of push people back and cross your arms and just sort of shake your head and judge them, rather than recognizing that it's only by his grace that any of us stand, that none of us have position, that it's not based on our works, no matter how good we are. It's all but by God's grace. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. I'm going to raise my hand in this arena, because this is one of those areas where I would struggle, that it's just so easy for me to look down on those who are not making the right decisions and to judge them. And I'm just saying, God, would you heal my heart? Would you heal my tendency towards self-righteousness? Would you break the root that's in me that puts somehow myself on a higher pedestal than I should be? If that's you, just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you this morning, because I believe that there's God's grace to hear, that's here in this place to change our hearts, to sensitize us, to help us not live in that place of judgment. Lord, for those that are raising their hands, even right now, we're just reaching out, God, for you to do something that we can't do. Lord, we can't fix our hearts. We find that we are so judgmental. We find, God, that we see in others a reason to nitpick and a reason to find judgment, a reason to critique and to criticize. And it's so easy for us to see the brokenness in others, and Lord, we don't even see the brokenness in ourselves. Would you heal our hearts, God? Would you change something on the inside of us? Would you give us fresh eyes to see and understand how, Lord, your grace is for us and for others, and we walk in it? Use us, God, as agents of your love, not as agents of judgment, not as agents of condemnation. Lord, give us the gift of great love. Give us the gift of great compassion and understanding. Help us, Lord, to live with open hands, we pray in Jesus' name. Go ahead and put your hands down. We're going to pray for this second group, and this group is for those that are struggling with reflecting the Father's love. And we're talking about trying to reflect the attitude of the Father with others who we're in relationship with, that have wounded us, that have betrayed us, that have run away. And it's so difficult sometimes, because we continue to have to extend grace and understanding, and sometimes we just run out. Sometimes we just run out of faith and hope that God can even do anything in that relationship. And if that's you, and you just need the Lord to help you today to reflect his attitude, to give more grace, to give more love, to give more forgiveness, to open the door, to add another chair to the table, to restore that relationship that's been broken. I mean, I feel even today there's relationships that need to be restored between siblings, between parents and kids, between parents and their parents, that even in the house today, there's fresh hope that God has for us, and he wants to give it to you, that you would believe and have faith once again that God can heal and that he can use you as an agent of healing. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, I want some of that. I want to reflect the Father's love. I want to reflect his attitude. Lord, give me a little bit extra runway. Give me a little bit extra grace and compassion. Babe, why don't you just pray over them?
Father, we just ask you for your forgiveness in the areas that we have not reflected your love or extended your hand of mercy that you extend to us, to those we're in relationship with. God, would you break our hearts for the brokenhearted? Would you give us your endurance and your patience and your desire for relationship for those that we seek to restore? God, would you break the pride within us, break the condemnation spirit within us, Father, and would you give us your heart for those that are broken? God, would you give us your heart for those who you've put us in relationship to show your glory to? God, help us to love others the way that you love, perfectly. Would you move perfectly within our imperfect beings? God, would you give us your grace to extend your love to others? In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Put those hands down. Just one more group we want to pray for. We want to pray for those who need to come running back to the Father today. I would imagine that there are people here this morning that you have been resistant. You are, in fact, the son that has run away, and you've never come to the Father. You've done things your own way. You've sort of tried to figure it out on your own, and you're realizing, like, I need to come back. I need to come to the Lord. I need to come running to the Father and ask him for forgiveness and for grace and for forgiveness. The good news today is that the Father stands waiting for us. The Father stands waiting for us. He doesn't stand with crossed arms. He's not resistant to us. The good news is that he sent his son Jesus to open heaven. The doors of heaven are open today for any that would come running to him. He is willing. He is available. He is generous. He is loving. And he is kind. And I sense this morning there's some that need to come running to him. Running to him for the first time or running back to him because you've been running in the other direction. And once upon a time you knew him, but you've run away from him. And we just want to give the opportunity this morning. We want to pray for those that are in that class that they're ready to run back to the arms of the Father. If that's you, just raise your hand because we want to pray for you. Anyone here that needs to run into the arms of the Father today? Yeah, raise your hand up high so I can see it. Yeah. Let's do this together. I'm going to invite you all to stand together. What we're going to do is what we often do. Let's just stand together and make a moment of this. And we do this at Koinonia very regularly. And you may have come into the service just for a nice Mother's Day service, but I want to tell you that this is a moment of visitation from the Father, that the Father is actually here to meet with his kids. And if you raise your hand for that last group and you need to come running to the Father, I think there's something powerful that can happen right now if you put some feet to that decision. And I'm going to ask you just to simply get out of your seat and to come right down here up front and meet with us because we want to pray for you. And there's going to be people that will pray for you this morning doing that. This is a moment when, as you come back to the Father, that he actually does something for you and in you that you can't do in and of yourself. And I know it's a significant thing to ask you to do that, but if you just kind of make your way down here and meet me right here, and as they're beginning to do that, this is what I want you to do, which we often do here, is would you turn to your neighbor and say to them, do you need to go down? And if so, I'll go down with you. And if they say yeah, would you come down and just come down with them? Come right up here, right up here. Thank you. Come on down, make your way down. We'll wait for you. Thank you, God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, guys. Yeah, come right up here. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to ask the prayer teams if you guys would come up and just kind of stand behind them. We're just going to begin to surround you in prayer. This moment is a moment of encounter. When we come to the Father, he has open arms for us. He doesn't hold us at arm's length. He doesn't wait for us to do anything other than just simply come to him and receive what he has already promised to give us, his love and his acceptance. And so if you came up this morning, I just want you to put your hands out in front of you just as if you're receiving a gift, because what we're doing is simply that we're receiving a gift from the Father today, not a gift that we deserve, not a gift that we earn, but simply a gift that he wants to give us because he loves us so very much. And church, I'm just and invite you just to extend your hands towards them as we pray together, because this is a moment right now of powerful encounter. Lord, I'm just praying that every person that's up here this morning, that this moment would be more than just a moment just a normal moment. Be a moment of powerful encounter with your Spirit, a moment of visitation, a moment of transformation, a moment, Lord, where you come and you actually create a holy moment, a tabernacle with them, where you meet with them face to face. Jesus, we're coming to you today as broken people. We're coming to you today as a people that recognize we've gone and tried to do it ourselves. We've run in the other direction. It doesn't work, Lord. We're just saying today, save us, God. Save us, God. Save us, God. Save us, God. Jesus, even now we step into your goodness. We step into your forgiveness. We step into the cross this morning, asking that you would cover us, that you would clean us, that you would wash us, that you would make us new. Lord, for every man and every woman, in the name of Jesus, in this moment we pray that you would move them from one place into another place, from darkness to light. Lord, from brokenness to healing. We're praying today that there would be cleansing, that there would be filling of your Spirit, that today would be a day of encounter with your presence, and they would never be the same again. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing and what you have done. We thank you for your love. Father, thank you for your acceptance. Even right now, put the ring on their finger, surround them with your robe, kill the fatted calf, because your kids have come home. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.